So Corinne Carey is with us. We reviewed some of the major election results Corinne has in the news headlines. You coordinate the Election Watch 2021 for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, interviewing, well, many of the candidates running for the city of Troy. What is some of the big news in the local elections as you see it?
Well, I think part of what we learned reviewing these election results is that the Democrats are, or I guess parties that are not Republicans are not united at all. There's a lot of infighting in the Democratic Party in this region. And I think we see the result of that in the formation of some splinter parties and just the rhetoric that we saw over the past 9 months here in the Capital Region. I think that the Black Lives Matter movement, I think that the calls to reallocate police funding really drove a lot of the narrative in this election season. And I think we saw that play out at the polls.
Every election is seen as, reading the pulse of the American electorate. While in local places in the Capital District, the usual winners largely won. At the national level, this is seen as a win for the GOP against Biden, with the tighter than expected race in New Jersey for governor and the Republican winning for governor of Virginia. What tea leaves, if any, can we read at the local level?
I think it's not surprising whenever you have a party in power, it's really easy to motivate people with fear and anger to get to the polls. And I think that's what we saw here. We saw people coming to the polls against, in many cases, rather than for. And they were against some of the big ideas and for the status quo in some ways. And I think we saw that play out in the race for county executive. People are afraid of the kind of change that many supporting Gwen Wright's campaign were looking for. And so they came out to keep the county executive, Steve McLaughlin, despite so many of the things that the headlines that he has made over the past few years. They came out to support him, I believe, in large part out of fear of what was to come if they didn't support him. So I think that's part of what we're seeing here.
Well, the Democratic leadership, I understand he refused to back two incumbent county legislators from Troy as they introduced a resolution to support Black Lives Matter. They both appear to have won re-election, though absentee ballots could swing the result. Where is the Democratic Party today, both in Troy and the county? I mean, including their liberal and conservative wings, and if they're able to work together or not.
I would say in need of a reckoning, honestly. It feels like there was a lot of division, a lot of splintering, and it was not very well explained. As you mentioned at the top of the show, I interviewed 15 of the local candidates for office. And as I tried to understand why some were backed by the Democratic Party, why some were backed by the Working Families Party, why they felt the need to create a whole new Troy Strong party line, I didn't get very elucidating answers. And so I think that what we're gonna see here in the Capital Region is a coming together. If there's ever a way for Democrats to change the makeup of the Rensselaer County Legislature or some of these countywide positions like the county clerk position or the county executive, there really needs to be the kind of, party discipline that the Republicans seem to have. The Democrats don't seem to have that same level of discipline.
You mentioned earlier that, Gwen Wright did not, do well against Steve McLaughlin, Prince of County, executive. And you made reference to the fact that there may have been a backlash against issues like defund the police and the Black Lives Matter movement, possibly the previous efforts around sanctuary cities. But yet at the same time, pretty much in Troy itself, the election results for city council and county legislature were largely the same as they were, you know, two years ago. So not exactly clear that really shook things up, particularly in the city of Troy. And yet, you know, 4 years ago, social worker, you know, Andrea Smith came quite close to defeating McLaughlin for county executive. And this point, you know, Gwynne Wright lost by, you know, more than 20 points. It was just that, I mean, it seems, I mean, Gwynne did not run a particularly, you know, good campaign, to be honest. But, you know, where do some of the independent groups that emerged to try to change things, particularly like the Rensselaer County, you know, Women for Change, who did a lot of work, not only for Gwynne Wright, but for some other candidates, you know, where do some of these independent groups go after this election?
Well, first of all, I don't know that I would say that she didn't run a good campaign. What I would say, this is just a guess on my part, is I think part of the reason she lost to that degree was because she presented that much of a challenge to the county executive. And so, for example, in the final days before Election Day, I received at least two robocalls that I answered, and both of them were fear-mongering. You know, one was about protecting blue lives, and the other one was warning about the radical Democratic agenda, which really painted all the Democrats in a kind of anarchist sort of light, if you listen to the robocalls. So I think the McLaughlin campaign and the Republicans spent a tremendous amount of effort drumming up opposition. So I think it was a lot of that. I'm not really sure how seriously they took the prior challenger's race, but they definitely took this race seriously. And in part, it's because Gwynne Wright was endorsed by so many, you know, big Democratic figures from across the state. Right. So I think that but your question was, where do some of these local groups go after this? And I think the only answer is ever onwards and upwards. You know, we saw an unprecedented degree of organizing among particularly the group that you mentioned, Rensselaer County Women for Change. It takes a while to knock out incumbents and to build that kind of political power. But if you look at the kind of race that Kiani Conley Wilson ran, and she, you know, she was right in the headwinds of, you know, bucking that whole idea of the fear stoked by opponents to the movement to reallocate police funding. She weathered that storm and she came out on top and won. You know, she's a political novice, she's a farmer, she's a community activist, and she won that seat handily. So I think there's a lot to be said for the kind of get out the vote effort that she put forward. And I think that the groups that were hoping to unseat other incumbents could learn a lot from her campaign.
So looking at this campaign, I know that you keep really well informed about previous campaigns. Did you think that there was anything a little more different, a little differences in comparing these election results from years ago to today? Would you say that there's a new movement, a new enthusiastic movement with groups or with individuals, or is it still kind of the level of the same?
No, I mean, we don't know yet how many absentee ballots were counted. I believe that the tally that the Rensselaer County Board of Elections has up now doesn't account for absentee ballots, although I'm not entirely sure. But just looking at the turnout, it's slightly down from 2017, 4 years ago. But again, those numbers might come up with absentee ballots. I think the big difference this year were the people who were angry and coming to the polls. 4 years ago, it was people angry with former President Trump. And today it's people who are angry at the Biden administration. And then everyone in between, right? I mean, that's not the only reason that people come out to the polls, but those national messages and that all of the candidates kind of latched onto really drove people to the polls.
Even local issues, even local candidates. And
I think so. I mean, if you listen to the rhetoric of the candidates, it was really the Republican campaigns were very disciplined in their messaging, and they got people out who were unhappy with a kind of trajectory.
So of the people, you know, you did several 15 interviews or something of candidates, you know, were there particular, you know, visions or missions that, you know, really sort of struck with you as a, you know, an important new vision for the city of Troy or Rensselaer County?
I think a lot of the challengers were saying that the incumbents were not listening to the people. I heard that over and over and over again. And, you know, there really isn't, there's been a problem with transparency in local government for years and years and years. And I think it's getting better, but I think, you know, people having the ability to weigh in with local elected officials, it could be a lot better. People could have a better sense of, for example, what the Rensselaer County Legislature does. There's a lot of confusion. Voters don't understand the difference between the Rensselaer County Legislature and the Troy City Council. And in fact, I got different answers from incumbent Rensselaer County legislators on what their job is. So I think that was really interesting to me. It was very interesting also to hear what the Black Lives Matter movement meant to each individual candidate. And I think that who we didn't hear from spoke volumes. You know, there were some candidates who felt perhaps that being interviewed by the Hudson Mohawk magazine and being challenged on some of those serious questions might have hurt their campaign. Who knows? I know that Cheryl Kennedy, for example, refused to be interviewed by this station. Carol Weaver refused to be interviewed by this station. And a whole host of Republicans, almost every Republican. I'll give credit to Rodney Wiltshire, who was running for a county legislature, to Frank Marola, who handily won re-election as the Rensselaer County Clerk, and to Judge Jill Keene, all three of whom didn't even hesitate to give an interview to us. And all, you know, if anyone listens to the interviews that we did as part of the Hudson Mohawk Magazine's Election Watch 2021 series, they were candidate profile issues. They were far from hard-hitting, challenging interviews. We just wanted to make sure that voters knew who the folks were that were appearing on their ballots. And again, I think it speaks volumes when people decide that they don't want the voters to know that.
Well, the constitutional proposal to put right the healthy environment and into the state constitution overwhelmingly passed, but the proposals on legislative redistricting and various voter reforms actually failed. What do you take away from that?
Well, I think everyone wants clean air and water. That's the big takeaway from the amendment that passed. I will say that on the redistricting process, I think it was a very confusing amendment. I think that some groups that a lot of us respect had different views on that proposal. I frankly had my own shorthand for explaining it to friends and family who asked at the last minute what to do. And I didn't give a recommendation because, you know, the League of Women Voters was on one side and some of the other left-leaning progressive groups were on the other. The real tragedy, I think, is ballot measures 3 and 4, allowing for same-day voter registration and making it easier to cast absentee ballots. Look, you know, voter rights legislation is failing all over the country, and it's a real shame. We should be encouraging the ability to register and vote. And, you know, it is so hard to cast absentee ballots. I can give you 10 reasons why we ought to allow absentee ballots to be easier to obtain and to create a no excuse absentee ballot. People are called away at the last minute for work. People are prevented from going into schools because of conviction records. There are all kinds of reasons why we need to make absentee voting easier. And I fear that some of these amendments were just not adequately explained to the public. That could be one part why they failed. And the other is, you know, the cynical narrative that, you know, there are lots of people who don't want to make it easier to vote.
You know, you mentioned that the, you know, redistricting proposal was somewhat confusing to voters. I was particularly stunned how long it was. I was actually, when I was doing an interview with some of the Leeuwin voters in Nyberg, let me just read this constitutional amendment. And then when I saw it was going on literally pages, I went, forget it. Was that a big, some part of the confusion?
Look, I want to look at the final numbers and see how many people skipped answering that question. I think that, you know, if people don't understand it, they generally skip it. And I'd like to compare how many people answered the ballot question versus how many people left it blank. But yeah, I think that, you know, writing ballot measures in plain English so that people can understand them is really important. And I think this one was particularly challenging.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, there's so many people with this absentee ballot that will have difficulty getting in to vote. So what would you see as a better way to, I don't know, understand candidates' platforms and their proposals? And is there any way we can do more guides, or are there guides that exist to help us understand?
Yeah, there are guides. The League of Women Voters has a 411 system. They put out candidate questionnaires to all of the candidates. And sadly, I think they got the same kind of response that we got to our requests for interviews and candidate profiles. Many of these candidates simply did not return the form. And so there was no information on the voter 411 website that the League of Women Voters created. I thought that the Albany Times Union and the Troy Record did a fantastic job of asking the candidates some of their platform issues. And that, aside from our interview series, I think that was the only place that I could go to get information about who these folks were. A lot of the folks that I interviewed for Troy City Council and the Rensselaer County Legislature, they'd never done an interview before. They'd never been asked their position at a debate, at a candidate forum. I think it was really challenging this year to organize candidate forums. I know that the League of Women Voters tried to do a few forums. And with COVID and the restrictions and masking and venues, it was really difficult. But there's got to be better ways for voters to understand who's on their ballot before they go into those voting booths.
So a follow-up question I have, the reality is that not much changed either in the city of Troy or in the Rensselaer County Legislature. And the city of Troy probably lost its most visionary city council member, who decided not to run for re-election, Anasha Cummins. They, you know, picked up, what many of us would consider a strong person in Kiana Connolly Wilson. But maybe it's a two-part question. What now for the city of Troy in terms of its agenda, and what now, you know, for the county legislature? Did actually any direction emerge out of this election, or is just, you know, more of the same we're about to see?
I think we're going to see some really powerful women on our Troy City Council. And my hope, looking at their platforms, having talked to them, is I hope that they work together. I think there's a tremendous amount that they can learn from one another. I mean, look, you've got Cheryl Kennedy, who's got a depth of experience, Emily Men, who's like a walking encyclopedia of, you know, of so many things related to Troy. Sue Steele, who's been around for a very long time and has, a lot of really interesting work experience. Kiani Connolly Wilson with her energy. I mean, if you really teamed those women up, we could be in for you. You talk about losing a visionary on the Troy City Council in Inasha. I think so many people absolutely agree with you, but the people that we have on the council now could be so powerful and visionary themselves if they work together.
So for our next election coming up, what do we do? How do we prepare? What have we learned from this election, and how can we be right. more prepared
and,
as
and
voters?
This is our last question for this segment.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks. 1 minute to go.
Oops.
Well, I think, you know, what have I learned? I guess start early and keep bugging the candidates more often and try to get some of these groups to work together to create forums and public events where voters can get to know those candidates. And hopefully, you know, we won't be dealing with a global pandemic.
Well, thanks, Corinne Carey. Thank you very much for your voting
you,
and
Corinne.
Your election watch 2021. We look forward to having you tell us more about the next one soon.